Welcome into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow.
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Well, I think we all needed that one. Big win for the boys in game one. Let's talk about it. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. Again, that's 913-586-7610. Royals win 6-4 as the much maligned bottom of the lineup once again provides the spark. Just as they did on Sunday, when that bottom half of the Royals lineup puts four runs on the board. Today, it's three runs in the fifth inning. It just completely flips the game. Wondering if Alec Marsh is once again going to disappoint as the team finds itself down 3-0 after three, only able to muster a single hit. Now, the concerns that we all felt after the first two in Denver started to rise up once again, but Hunter Renfroe, Freddie Fermin, MJ Melendez, Garrett Hampson, pick up Alec Marsh. Pick up Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez. Salvi ends up putting away the St. Louis Cardinals with his game-winning solo home run in the sixth inning, and then another RBI knock in the eighth. Phone lines are open again, 913-586-7610. Right, once Salvi put that solo bomb on the board in the sixth to make it 4-3 Royals, it felt as if locked this one in. No? No? Oh. I see the text line was nervous during the final three frames with Will Smith, Sam Long, and James MacArthur on the bump. Only one run comes across to score, and again, the Royals win 6-4. I think the story of this game was the bottom of the lineup. Without that performance from those names I just gave you there in the fifth inning, I wonder what Alec Marsh's afternoon looks like. I wonder if he's able to finish off the fifth and sixth, needing just 27 pitches. Six up, six down. He retires the final 11 that he faced. I'm wondering if Marsh is able to lock it in without that encouragement from the bottom of the lineup. Now, Alec Marsh, by the way, when you dive into the splits, when you look at the numbers that he's put up against the upper echelon teams in Major League Baseball, it is somewhat startling, encouraging, and eye-popping. In that, today was the 17th start of the season for Marsh, his ninth against a team in playoff position. Teams that currently hold a spot in the postseason. The Cardinals do. He's faced the Padres. He's faced the Twins and the Yankees. He's gone up against the Baltimore Orioles twice, Cleveland once, and Seattle. Nine starts against teams currently in postseason position. He's averaging well over a strikeout per inning with an ERA of 3.35. Now, when he takes on the teams on the outside looking in, that ERA balloons north of 6. He's well short of a strikeout per 9. So Alec Marsh, when the team needs him against the fiercest of competition, he continues to answer the bell. He picks up the win today, throwing his 8th quality start of the season, 3rd most on the team. A 4th straight quality start by a Royals rotation member. All 3 in Denver and now today in St. Louis, Alec Marsh puts together the team's latest quality start. 3rd most quality starts in all of Major League Baseball, courtesy of this tremendous, this elite rotation. They've now turned in a quality start in more than half the games in 2024. So phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. My game notes, as always, are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. Let's start off by heading up to St. Joe. Jerry, you're going to hit leadoff this afternoon as the Royals take game one in St. Louis, 6-4. Go ahead, Jerry.
All right. I hope I do as good as Michael Garcia. He did okay. But no, I was worried for Marsh when he came in, but he held it together. I thought it was really good. I want to put my vote in to keep a hold of MJ, Hunter, and Isbell. And I heard people talking rumors about trade bait, Freddie Fermin. But I really don't want to give up on any of the people we got. I hope that they come to a conclusion that we want to keep this team and let them mature, and then next year we can see what if we have to add anybody. But does that even make sense? Is that I want to be a loyal Royal, but I don't want to miss out on chances, but I don't want to give up on any of the guys we got.
No, I understand that, Jerry. I appreciate the phone call. And to me, the focus on the lineup and a need for a bat, to me, that's so far in the background. The foreground to me is the bullpen. The bullpen is obviously the weak link on this team. And that's no knock on anyone that we saw today. Will Smith, a 1-2-3 seventh. Sam Long works around a one-out single, and James MacArthur works around a, gives up a solo home run to Paul Goldschmidt, but nonetheless picks up his 16th save of the season. Yeah, the offense to me is not of concern. Because let me put it this way. Who were those guys that came up big today in the fifth inning? Hunter Renfroe, Freddie Fermin, MJ Melendez. Now, Garrett Hampson, of course, had the big two-run double to tie things up at three. But Renfroe, Fermin, and Melendez opened up that fifth inning with three consecutive hits. Hunter Renfroe is hitting .306 since he came back from that toe injury. Since the start of May, Hunter Renfroe has an OPS of .821. And I bring this up because I'm wondering, your favorite three relievers out there in the bullpen, I don't know who they are, but whoever you would deem number one, number two, number three, our best three relievers, do you have more confidence in them or do you have more confidence in those three bats in a big spot? Now, gun to your head, who do you trust more? Do you trust these three relievers to get a big out or do you trust Renfroe, Fermin, Melendez in a big spot? You trust the hitters. I do. I trust the hitters to come through more than I do in a big spot. Those guys coming out of the bullpen, even the ones I like. Even the Zerpas and the Bubich and the Sam Longs and Will Smiths. Whoever your favorite reliever is, you're more nervous when they're on the hill than you are in Hunter Renfroe in a big spot, MJ Melendez, Freddie Fermin, Michael Massey in a big spot, right? The options for the offense have a lot more upside, at least what we've seen so far, have a lot more upside than the options out there in the bullpen. That's what I want to know from you today. 913-586-7610. We're now within 3 weeks from the trade deadline. You heard Jerry bring it up there. So push comes to shove. What's aspect, what facet of this team do you trust least? A bullpen or offense? Now, to me, the guys that you were on the fence about, the guys that are going to make or break quite a few of these big-time games down the stretch, Hampson, Melendez, Freddie, and Renfroe, these are the guys that jump-started this one, and these are the guys that I'm patting on the back. These are the guys that we're celebrating on the postgame. They are, for as solid as Alec Marsh was, for as clutch as the captain continues to be, the bottom of the lineup is the reason why the Royals are celebrating win number 50 before the All-Star break for just the sixth time in Royals franchise history. Yeah, it's a 6-4 victory. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll get back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Burns Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
Yeah, we don't need to hear that. We don't want to hear a bouncing ball in front of the plate, especially when the Royals won this game. We don't need to search for highlights. They were right there. Salvador Perez hitting his 261st career home run put the Royals ahead 4-3 in the sixth inning. They would go on to win 6-4, taking game one of this day-night doubleheader in St. Louis. Yeah, career home run number 261. For the great Salvador Perez, he's now 56 away from matching George Brett's franchise record. And number 261, that matches Hall of Famer Roy Campanella for 10th most in baseball history, home runs by a catcher. Yeah, Salvi 10th all-time, 14 away from Jorge Posada, and 9th all-time. Royals win 6-4. Let's head out to Williamsburg. Talk with Eli. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Eli, go ahead.
Hey, Vern, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I just got two things. First off, I'm not going to complain about the bullpen. Everyone knows the bullpen needs help. I do have to complain about one thing is we've played now. We went to Colorado and we played the Rockies, the worst team in the National League. And granted, a bigger stadium, and it was 4th of July weekend, but their attendance crowds are almost double the size of every game in Kauffman. And then today, a makeup game at midday, and it's 32,000. I mean, Kauffman doesn't even come close to
those tickets sold. There weren't that many people in the building.
They
sold a lot of tickets. Sure, yeah. No, I agree.
I mean,
what's your solution? We all understand the numbers. What's your solution to it, Eli?
I don't know if it's not because fans aren't buying in or what.
I think it's just the town. I think that's just how it goes in Kansas City. Yeah. I think that's just how it goes. Complaining about it. You know, we've been doing this for years. I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, Royals averaging the fifth smallest crowds in Major League Baseball. I've never expected it really any different, right? This is just where baseball is in 2024. Well, it's a conversation that I'm not interested in right now, Eli. Yeah, 913-586-7610. The Royals are on pace to win 87 games. If they win 87 games this year, I would expect that number to go up next year. Everyone likes a winner. Every city is a front runner, and there's nothing wrong with it. There are diehard Royals fans that sat through the 106-loss season last year, but there just aren't that many diehard baseball fans, period. It's not a negative reflection on Kansas City. It's a negative reflection on the game, really, where it ranks with the amount of entertainment options available in 2024. No, don't worry about it. Just keep winning games. Enjoy the fact that you're able to get in and out of the stadium rather quickly. Because if they keep winning, you're not going to be able to. Appreciate the phone call. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Truman, who's on his way out to St. Louis for game two. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, Vern. Me and buddies are on the way to see game two. It was really fun to listen to a game while on the way to a game. But we were all kind of talking about Hunter Renfroe and how when we signed him in the offseason, you know, we were expecting low average, high power. And so his performance at the beginning of the year was, you know, decent power, but really low average. And so it was just funny to, like, have us see a .220 batting average next to Hunter Renfroe's name and be like, wow, he's really, you know, he's really heating up now, whereas every other player, not so good. But it's good to kind of see him starting to, you know, hit his stride a little bit, especially in the second half of the season here.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks for the phone call. Look, his numbers are still below league average, but a .220 batting average is, you know, just a tick under league average. Now, his OPS is still below 700, so again, that's still below league average. But you know, since coming back from that toe injury, today was his 15th start. Has 6 extra base hits in those 15 games. Again, batting .306 in that stretch. Yeah, Renfroe over the past 2 months has been the Hunter Renfroe that he's been for a majority of the past 6-7 years. Like you said, low batting average, but a lot of extra base hits. A decent OPS, above league average OPS, and a little bit below league average when it comes to batting average. And you can live with that. Royals with the 6-4 win are now a game and a half back of Boston for the final spot in the American League postseason, 8.5 back of Cleveland in the American League Central. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Eli in Kansas City. Eli, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my phone call, Vern. I was just wondering, with Garcia really struggling here in the whole month of June and early July here, is there someone you think the Royals could trade for at the deadline? Not necessarily someone like Jazz Chisholm or Luis Robert to lead off, but are there any like smaller market guys that we could go after that wouldn't cost very much?
I'm sure, yeah, possibly. What you're describing without giving a name is, yeah, the ideal trade partner. Yeah. Does that person exist? Probably not. You know. You're asking for a leadoff hitter that doesn't cost a lot that the Royals can acquire. No, I'm sure that person is out there. Do the Royals have enough to acquire him? Because you're also saying not the Jazz Chisholm type, so not a league average hitter. So you want a below league average hitter that isn't that expensive, that can also lead off. The more I say it, I don't know if that player actually exists. Because if he's good enough to be a leadoff hitter, and he doesn't cost a lot, well, then he's probably hitting better than Jazz Chisholm is this season. And he would likely cost a lot to acquire. No, I don't think you can acquire anyone with the upside of Mikel Garcia. Now, the same reason why this team, in my opinion, back in April, didn't send MJ Melendez down is the same reason that right now we haven't seen them send Mikel Garcia down. Well, maybe there's someone down in Omaha that can do something slightly better than MJ back in April, could do something slightly better than Mikel, but the total package, no. I don't think that option is in Omaha. Shoot, man, you've seen every option in Omaha. Waters, Alexander, Prado, Nate Eaton. You didn't fall in love with any of those guys. You've fallen in love with Mikel. You loved him in May. You loved him last year. Let's hope you can love him again. Because if you can't, well, then Renfro and Fermin and Melendez and Massey need to pick him up. Because Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi can only do so much of the heavy lifting. The rotation's going to give you an opportunity. Salvi, Bobby, and Vinny are going to come through more times than not, but on occasion, I'm going to need that bottom of the lineup to pick him up. Which is exactly what Mikel Garcia did in the most recent game. Back on Sunday, when Bobby, when Vinny, when they weren't coming through early, Mikel connected on that 3-run home run to put the boys in front for good. So no, I don't think there's a better option that is honestly, possibly, coming to Kansas City that can perform at a higher clip at a more consistent basis than Mikel Garcia. But I appreciate the phone call. Again, the focus needs to be on the bullpen. I understand who's struggling at any given moment offensively. There's always one. Who do you like in the bullpen? Give me three names that you like in the bullpen more than you like Mikel, Freddie, and Hunter. Or whoever your three consistent hitters are that are in the lineup that you are displeased with. Give me three relievers that you like more. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. That's 913-586-7610. Royals win 6-4. They'll look for the day-night doubleheader sweep coming up a little bit later tonight with Michael Wacha on the hill. Don't forget the drive with Carrington Harrison. Rob Breton's coming your way in about 15 minutes. We'll take a quick time out and get back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
3-2 pitch. Salvi swings and a line drive, base hit into left center. Bobby Witt Jr. is around third. Salvador Perez drives in his second run of the game, and the Royals lead 6-3 in the eighth.
A lot of cheers here at Busch Stadium.
They would go on to win 6-4, the final score, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Ryan LaFever, Steve Stewart on the call. Salvi, one of two Royals with multiple hits. Salvi, 2-for-4. Hunter Renfro, 2-for-4. Phone lines are open for you. The text line is there as well, 913-586-7610. With today's 6-4 win, the Royals now sport the 8th best run differential in Major League Baseball, a top 10 team in Major League Baseball, and yet they're on the outside looking in at the American League postseason. Elliot from Olathe was at the game today with his brother and mom, so they were happy with the Royals fan turnout. Yeah, as you just heard there. Sounded at times like a Royals game. Had the Let's Go Royals chance there at the end. From the 913, Vern, I'm cool with keeping MJ Melendez and Kyle Isbell long term, but I think we could sell high on Hunter Renfro. Renfro again with an OPS north of 800 since the start of May. Renfro has a player option for next season for more than $7 million. How much would you get in return for a Hunter Renfro? What is sell high on Hunter Renfro? A double-A lottery ticket? I don't know. I don't know how much you really get in return for Hunter Renfrow. I think... But hey, you know what? Maybe that's that's an old Royals mentality, right? The new mentality needs to be, if you have an opportunity to make a move, win the move, JJ. I don't see a reason why this ball club should part with anything that's helping you in 2024. You know, a guy like Daniel Lynch, a Nick Prado, a Drew Waters, someone that hasn't really contributed all that much to the big league club in 2024. If you want to part with someone like that to make yourself better this year and next, okay, I could understand that. But to remove that piece from the clubhouse, that hot bat from this lineup, as we've heard already so far today, a lineup that remains, for a lot of you, the focus of concern, your main focus of concern. We talk about MJ Melendez, who over the past month has an OPS of 786. You know, Freddie Fermin, earlier caller, brought up the idea of, you know, selling high on a guy like Freddie Fermin, who is a 300 hitter when his name's in the starting lineup. Yeah, Freddie has an OPS of 779 in his 45 starts this season. But even a... Honestly, I think a Freddie Fermin would be more valuable in a trade. As far as the return, I think a Fermin would be more valuable than a trade of Hunter Renfrow. You would have more teams lining up for Hunter Renfrow, but I don't think the bidding would ever get as high as it would for the services of a 300-hitting catcher. Rally Mantis is wishing a happy birthday to Willie Wilson, even though that his birthday was yesterday. Today, it's Will Smith's birthday, Rally Mantis, but I appreciate the positive mood that you're in on this Wednesday. Ed in Jefferson City. How times have changed, Vern. Was there anyone else relieved when Will Smith came into the game instead of John Schreiber? I'm sure there was. Personally, it's an equal level of anxiety that I feel whenever that bullpen door opens up. I'm excited to see when Chris Bubich runs out. I'll be excited to see if Walter Pennington runs out. But everyone else, there's less curiosity and more angst. That's how I feel when that bullpen door opens up. And from the 816, Vern, I'm nervous anytime Will Smith is on the mound. That's exactly my point. I don't think you can get together multiple Royals fans and have them agree on who the three best relievers are. Shoot, it might be tough to get three Royals fans together to even understand who three relievers are on this Royals team. No. They made it work today as Will Smith, Sam Long, and James MacArthur combined to throw three innings of one-run relief, and the Royals pick up win number 50 as Bobby Witt Jr. extends his hitting streak to 8 games, a stretch in which he's hitting 500. A 500 batting average raises his season batting average to .323. Third highest mark in Major League Baseball. Bobby today singled in the 8th inning and came around to score. That base hit was number 120 on the season. That's most in the sport. And that run that he scored was number 73. That's the second most in Major League Baseball. And his OPS is now top 10 in the sport, in OPS of .932. All right, so the finale of the first half of the I-70 series is coming up tonight. 6:45 for the first pitch as Michael Wacha takes the hill against his former team for the first time in his career, pitching at Busch Stadium as the opponent. Royals and Cardinals wrap up again the first half of the I-70 series. The Kauffman Stadium half comes up after the All-Star break. After this series in St. Louis, it's a 3-game set in Boston against the Red Sox, a team, again, that you're a game and a half back of for that final wild card spot in the American League. But you got your big dogs going. Cole Reagan, Seth Lugo, and Brady Singer lined up to start that huge series at the Fence. The Royals have an opportunity coming up tonight to walk into that Boston series with their chest out, with that head held high, nipping at the heels of that Red Sox team. Big game coming up tonight. C-Dot will keep you updated on it. Plenty more coming up on the drive. I'll talk to you with the On Deck Show coming up at 5:30 right here on 610 Sports Radio. Thanks for listening. Be back in a little bit.
3-2 pitch. Salvi swings and a line drive, base hit into left center. Bobby Witt Jr. is around third. Salvador Perez drives in his second run of the game, and the Royals lead 6-3 in the eighth.
A lot of cheers here at Busch Stadium.
They would go on to win 6-4, the final score, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Ryan Lefevre, Steve Stewart on the call. Salvi, one of two Royals with multiple hits. Salvi, 2-for-4. Hunter Renfroe, 2-for-4. Phone lines are open for you. The text line is there as well, 913-586-7610. With today's 6-4 win, the Royals now sport the 8th best run differential in Major League Baseball, a top 10 team in Major League Baseball, and yet they're on the outside looking in at the American League postseason. Elliot from Olathe was at the game today with his brother and mom, so they were happy with the Royals fan turnout. Yeah, as you just heard there. Sounded at times like a Royals game. Had the Let's Go Royals chance there at the end. From the 913, Vern, I'm cool with keeping MJ Melendez and Kyle Isbell long term, but I think we could sell high on Hunter Renfroe. Renfroe again with an OPS north of 800 since the start of May. Renfroe has a player option for next season for more than $7 million. How much would you get in return for a Hunter Renfroe? What is sell high on Hunter Renfroe? A double A lottery ticket? I don't know. I don't know how much you really get in return for Hunter Renfroe. I think... But hey, you know what? Maybe that's an old Royals mentality, right? The new mentality needs to be, if you have an opportunity to make a move, win the move, JJ. I don't see a reason why this ball club should part with anything that's helping you in 2024. You know, a guy like Daniel Lynch, a Nick Prado, a Drew Waters, someone that hasn't really contributed all that much to the big league club in 2024. If you want to part with someone like that to make yourself better this year and next, okay, I could understand that. But to remove that piece from the clubhouse, that hot bat from this lineup, as we've heard already so far today, a lineup that remains, for a lot of you, the focus of concern, your main focus of concern. We talk about MJ Melendez, who over the past month has an OPS of 786. Now, Freddie Fermin, earlier caller, brought up the idea of selling high on a guy like Freddie Fermin, who is a 300 hitter when his name's in the starting lineup. Yeah, Freddie has an OPS of 779 in his 45 starts this season. But honestly, I think a Freddie Fermin would be more valuable in a trade. As far as the return, I think a Fermin would be more valuable than a trade of Hunter Renfroe. You would have more teams lining up for Hunter Renfroe, but I don't think the bidding would ever get as high as it would for the services of a 300 hitting catcher. Rally Mantis is wishing a happy birthday to Willie Wilson, even though that his birthday was yesterday. Today, it's Will Smith's birthday, Rally Mantis, but I appreciate the positive mood that you're in on this Wednesday. Ed in Jefferson City. How times have changed, Vern. Was there anyone else relieved when Will Smith came into the game instead of John Schreiber? I'm sure there was. Personally, it's an equal level of anxiety that I feel whenever that bullpen door opens up. I'm excited to see when Chris Bubich runs out. I'll be excited to see if Walter Pennington runs out. But everyone else, there's less curiosity and more angst. That's how I feel when that bullpen door opens up. And from the 816, Vern, I'm nervous anytime Will Smith is on the mound. That's exactly my point. I don't think you can get together multiple Royals fans and have them agree on who the three best relievers are. Shoot, it might be tough to get three Royals fans together to even understand who three relievers are on this Royals team. Oh. They made it work today as Will Smith, Sam Long, and James MacArthur combined to throw three innings of one-run relief, and the Royals pick up win number 50 as Bobby Witt Jr. extends his hitting streak to 8 games, a stretch in which he's hitting 500. A 500 batting average raises his season batting average to 323. third highest mark in Major League Baseball. Bobby today singled in the eighth inning and came around to score. That base hit was number 120 on the season. That's most in the sport. And that run that he scored was number 73. That's the second most in Major League Baseball, and his OPS is now top 10 in the sport, in OPS of 932. All right, so the finale of the first half of the I-70 series is coming up tonight. 6:45 for the first pitch as Michael Wacha takes the hill against his former team for the first time in his career, pitching at Busch Stadium as the opponent. Royals and Cardinals wrap up again the first half of the I-70 series. The Kauffman Stadium half comes up after the All-Star break. After this series in St. Louis, it's a three-game set in Boston against the Red Sox, a team, again, that you're a game and a half back of for that final wild card spot in the American League. But you got your big dogs going. Cole Reagan, Seth Lugo, and Brady Singer lined up to start that huge series at the fence. The Royals have an opportunity coming up tonight to walk into that Boston series with their chest out, with that head held high, nipping at the heels of that Red Sox team. Big game coming up tonight. CDOT will keep you updated on it. Plenty more coming up on the drive. I'll talk to you with the On Deck Show coming up at 5:30 right here on 610 Sports Radio. Thanks for listening. Be back in a little bit.